Good evening. It's good to be with you this evening. For all the young people in our attendance, all the kids, hope you got one of these. We'll try this out and see how it goes. I found this, actually, I think it was Molly's mother. My mother-in-law found this a while back, and I thought it was kind of neat. It's got a place to really engage the kids to list the songs, the prayers, the everything about the sermon, or about the service, not just the sermon. So I hope you'll pick up one of those from the media booth if you've not done so already. And we'll see how that works. So we're going to continue our thoughts that we had this morning in Al's lesson that he presented, did an excellent job. And we're going to continue kind of that same vein of thinking this evening and talk about some of the exact same things, actually. I told Al this morning, I said, man, I hate to tell you this, but you got pretty much all the verses that I'm using, you're using too, so you're going to have to preach something different. He said, no, I'm going first, so you're going to have to preach something different. But I think they fit really well together. So we're going to keep it the same and see how that goes. You might notice in this area, if you walk around this time of year, a lot of little blue flowers blooming like this. These little flowers are a type of weed that belong to a family of, they call the family the scorpion grasses. You might know them by the more common name, that is the forget-me-not. There's two legends that go along with the naming of this little blue flower. The first one says that there was a knight and a maiden. They were walking down by the brook, and he was going to propose to his maiden, ask her to marry him. He bent down and he picked a bouquet of wildflowers. And as he did, he lost his balance and he fell into the stream. Having a suit of armor on, he began to sink and began to drown. And he threw the bouquet of flowers onto the bank and shouted to his maiden, forget me not. The other legend that is associated with the naming of this flower, or this weed, is it says that this flower did not exist. It wasn't around until after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In fact, it wasn't until the spring after his crucifixion, in this legend, after the spring after his crucifixion, that this flower began to bloom all over the world. And therefore, it was given to man by Jesus so that we might forget him not. Now, I don't know about either one of those legends, but I do know there is kind of a vein of truth in the fact that we, as God's people, have somewhat always had a little bit of a problem with forgetting him, haven't we? We read this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 19 says, it shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. If you ever forget. All the way back there in Deuteronomy, God was warning his people about forgetting him. In fact, if we rewind just a little bit further, we go to Exodus chapter 32, we have a really prevalent story here that we all know about a time when God's people forgot him. Exodus chapter 32 and in verse 7. We're going to pick up here kind of in the middle of this story. We know what's already happened. It's a familiar story to us. The children of Israel, we've just seen the 10 plagues. They've just been released from Egypt. They've just come across the Red Sea, and God has parted the Red Sea for them. Walked across on dry land, it says. And then they come to Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, Moses goes up to the mountain, up to the top of the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. And it's then when the people make a golden calf, a molten image, there to and they worship that image. And it says in verse 7, and the Lord spoke to Moses and he said, go down at once. For your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molten calf. They have worshipped it and sacrificed to it. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. Obstinate is a synonym for stubborn. Now let me alone, that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation. See, God was ready to destroy, to wipe Israel off right here in Exodus chapter 32. Right after he brings them out of Egypt. Right after they see the ten plagues. And yet, what are they doing? In Psalm chapter 106 and verses 19 through 21, it says, "They made a calf in Horeb, and they worshipped a molten image. Thus they exchanged their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt." They forgot God their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. Now, I want to suggest to you this evening that yes, they were an obstinate. Yes, they were a stubborn people. And their stubbornness, their obstinateness, led them to forget God. It led them to forgetfulness as well. And so we're going to talk about the other side of that coin. Not stubbornness this evening, but we're going to talk about forgetfulness. You see, I believe that God's people really have always needed a reminder. In Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verses 6 through 7, it says, "Know then, it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this land to possess. For you are a stubborn people. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you left the land of Egypt until you arrived at this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord." You know, it seems that God's people have really always, since the beginning of creation, have been forgetful. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "The Lord took man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. And for in the day you eat it, you will surely die.'" And just a few verses later, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, that it was desirable to make one wise, she did what? She took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband, and he ate also." Forgetfulness. God's always given us a reminder. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, "So watch yourselves that you do not forget the covenant of the Lord, the Lord your God, which He made with you." In 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 38, it says, "The covenant that I made with you, you shall not forget, nor shall you fear other gods." In Judges chapter 8 and verse 34, it says, "Thus the sons of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side." In Psalm chapter 78, in verses 40 through 43, "How often they rebelled against Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. Again and again they tempted God and they pained the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember His power, the day when He redeemed them from the adversary, when He performed His signs in Egypt." In Psalm chapter 103, in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits." In Psalm chapter 9 and verse 17, "The wicked will return to Sheol, even all the nations who forget God." And we can go on. We could literally spend all evening here listing verses that warn against forgetting God. But really, that's the beauty of the gospel of Christ. That's the beauty of His Word. And that is what our religion is centered around. As we gathered here this evening to partake of the Lord's Supper, and as we did so this morning, we did that in what? In remembrance of Christ and what He's done for us and what we are doing here. As we gather together here and we listen to a message from His Word, we do that to what? To remind us of how we ought to be. As we pray to God to what? To help us. Help us to do the things that we should. So oftentimes our children say in our prayers, to be reminded. You see, our religion is a religion of reminders. It is a religion of remembrance. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" I'm going to change a word right there. I'm going to change a word in those little highlighted sections, and then I'm going to read it like that. I think it still reads true. He broke it. He broke the bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do it to remember me." In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, "This is the cup in the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You see, we are a religion of reminders. In Hebrews chapter 10, in verses 23 through 25, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds." And I'm going to pause right there. I want to go back in this highlighted section. I'm going to change a word again. Let us consider how to remind one another to love and do good deeds. I think it reads true. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. How are we going to be reminded of that? How are we going to remind each other to love, to do good deeds? Not forsaking our assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. See, that's why it's important for us to get together. The story is told that an old preacher one time, he went to the home of a wayward Christian, one who hadn't been attending very faithfully, and he walked into this home. Without saying a word, he walked over to the fireplace where a fire was burning, and he took a set of tongs, and he reached into that fireplace, and he picked up one single ember, and he placed it on the hearth. And then without saying a word, the old preacher went over, and he sat down beside the man, the wayward Christian, and they sat there, and they didn't speak. And they sat there, and they didn't speak. And that ember grew gray. And they sat there, and they watched the logs crackle, and they listened to the fire, watched the fire burn, and they didn't speak, and that ember grew black. And they didn't speak, and that ember grew cold. You see, we as Christians are very much like that. At the end of that, the old preacher got up. He took those tongs, he picked up that same ember that had grown cold and black now, and he placed it back in the fire, turned and looked at the wayward Christian. The wayward Christian says, "I see your point." See, we as Christians are very much like that. If you take one single coal out of the fire, that coal will grow dark, and it will grow cold. We as Christians, we burn brightest when we're in a group. We burn hottest when we're together. And so as we gather together, we do so to remind each other how we ought to be, what we ought to do, how a Christian ought to live. I want to also suggest to you that forgetting, just like that ember growing cold, forgetting happens a little bit at a time. It doesn't happen all at once. And that's the danger in not coming to services. That's the danger in not realizing what we're doing here, is that forgetting happens just a little bit at a time. In Hosea chapter 5 and verse 4, says, "Their deeds will not allow them to return to their God, for a spirit of harlotry," talking about the children of Israel, "for a spirit of harlotry is within them, and they have forgotten the Lord." See, Israel, things have gotten so bad in Israel that here at the time of Hosea, God says they're not going to turn back. They're not going to turn back. Why? Because they have forgotten me completely and totally. Now, do we forget? Be honest with yourselves for just a minute, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if I were, how many of us would have to raise our hands and say, "Yeah, I forget sometimes who I am. I forget what I'm supposed to do. I forget that I'm a Christian. I forget that I'm an heir of salvation, an heir of salvation from God, and I forget that I'm a child of His." And I want to ask you this, in the remainder of our time this evening, we're going to explore this question. What is it that we forget? Yeah, we forget that we're children of God. Yeah, we forget about God sometimes, and we put ourselves first, right? But I want to be a little bit more specific in the rest of our time. What exactly do we forget? I want to suggest to you that first of all and foremost, we oftentimes, more times than not, we forget just how blessed we are. Here, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he's writing from prison. No doubt he's from prison. I believe that as Paul is writing this letter, Paul is writing it from prison on death row, about to be executed. And yet listen to the blessings that he talks about here in Philippians chapter 4, verses 18 through 19. "But I have received everything in full and have in abundance. I am amply supplied having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, and my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Have you ever heard the saying that when you count your blessings, you realize you're actually doing just fine? I think that's true. I think that sometimes in our society we get so wrapped up in having something right then, in being able to push one or two or three on that microwave and getting our dinner in less than 3 minutes, that we forget to slow down. We forget to take stock of the things that we have been blessed with in this life and the things that we enjoy. We forget to count our blessings and realize that we're doing just fine. Several years ago, I was in chapel in elementary school, and Brother A.J. Rollins got up and he gave a speech. He gave a talk there in chapel, and he talked about that very principle of counting our blessings and realizing how blessed we truly are. And he read this poem, "And though I was young, and though I was very small, and I could scarcely remember anything else that happened that year, I can remember that talk, and I can remember this poem. I'm going to share it with you this evening. It's called, Lord Forgive Me When I Whine. Today up on a bus I saw a girl with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so sweet. And I wished that I were as fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one leg and wore a crutch. But as she passed, a smile. Oh Lord, forgive me when I whine. I have two legs. This world is mine. I stopped to buy some candy. The lad who sold it had such charm. I talked with him and he seemed so glad. If I were late, it'd do no harm. As I left, he said to me, I thank you. You've been so kind. It's nice to talk with folks like you. You see, he said, I'm blind. Oh Lord, forgive me. When I whine, I have two eyes. This world is mine. Later, while walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. He seemed to know not what to do. I stopped a moment when I said, why don't you go and join the others, dear? He looked ahead without a word, and then I knew he could not hear. Oh Lord, forgive me when I whine. I have two ears. This world is mine. With feet to take me where I go, with eyes to see the sunsets glow, with ears to hear what I would know. Oh Lord, forgive me when I whine. I am blessed indeed. This world is mine. How oftentimes do we take those things for granted? I want to also suggest to you this evening that we forget oftentimes what we're capable of. I don't know if you can see that picture to the right on that screen, but it's the front of this Bible. And I don't know if you can see the date up there. It's kind of small. And I'm going to be telling my age a little bit as I tell you this. But that date is, it says December the 25th, 1977. December 25th, 1977. That was the very first Christmas that I spent in this world. I don't remember it. I don't remember anything I got. In fact, I don't think I have anything else that I got for that Christmas. But I've got this. And this was the first present that my grandparents gave me that Christmas. And in the front of this Bible, in my grandparents' handwriting, it says, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and verses 12 through 14. Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example. Be what type of example, young people here Paul says to be an example. He tells Timothy, be an example of believers. Be an example of believers. I want to talk to the young people just a minute. I want to tell you that I think you don't realize just what you're capable of. I think that sometimes you forget how big an example and an encouragement you can be. Even though you're a young Christian, even though you're just starting out, how important you are to the congregation. And I want to expand that and say that same rule, that same idea applies to all of us. That I think oftentimes we forget just what we're capable of. I want to suggest to you also this evening that we forget how much we're loved. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, it says, For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. See, we forget that, don't we? It's easy to forget how much we were loved. What was sacrificed for you and what was sacrificed for me? In Hosea chapter 11, here the prophet uses some beautiful imagery to describe God's love for His people, for His children. Here it says, "Yet it is I," talking of God, "who taught Ephraim," Ephraim being Israel, "to walk. Yet it is I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of a man, with bonds of love, and I became to them as one who lifts the yoke from their jaws. I bent down and I fed them." And can you remember? Parents, can you remember when your children were young and they were learning how to walk, and you would kneel down and you would stretch your hands out as far as they could go, and you would start with two hands holding theirs and say, "Take one step, you can do it, come on." And then you would gradually go to two fingers holding theirs and, "Take one step, you can do it." And you draw them in with cords of love, teaching them to walk. You healed them. They didn't know it. You watched over them and you cared for them. That's the same language that God used in speaking about His people. In Hosea chapter 11, verse 9, it says, "How can I give up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath." Can you hear the love? Can you hear the longing that God has? We forget that, don't we? I want to suggest to you lastly this evening that sometimes we just forget how much we have to lose as well. Dee Bowman, I've heard him preach a few times, and almost every meeting I've ever heard, ever watched him or heard him present, at the very end of that meeting he always says this same phrase. He said, "If we miss heaven, then we missed it all." I think that's true. If we miss heaven, we've missed it all. Think about with me for just a moment what's waiting for us in heaven. Think about that person that used to occupy a seat beside you at the dinner table or maybe on a pew. That person who's no longer on this earth but has gone on there. And they're waiting for you, and they're watching for you. And they're saying, "Matt, I'm ready for you to come. Chris, I'm ready for you to come." I know there's people there that are waiting on me. I know they're watching for me. But I want you to think about one more thing, and that is that how much more than them, God is waiting for you. God is watching for you. In that God sent His only Son, His only begotten Son, that we might inherit heaven one day. I want to read this poem, and as I do, I want you to think about heaven and think about what waits for us there. She always leaned to watch for us, anxious if we were late, in winter by the window, and in summer by the gate. And though we mocked her tenderly, who had such foolish care, the long way home would seem more safe because she waited there. Well, her thoughts were also full of us. She never could forget. And so I think that where she is, she must be watching yet, waiting till we come home to her, anxious if we are late, watching from heaven's window and leaning on heaven's gate. Are you here tonight and you're not a Christian? And there's somebody in heaven waiting for you. Not just the people that you've left here, that have left this earth before you, but God, but Jesus. I think we oftentimes so easily forget that. So I want to remind you this evening that we offer this invitation to you as an opportunity to come, to be buried with Him in baptism, to make sure that one day you can go see those loved ones again. One day you can see the one who loves you more than anybody else again, and that is Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and you've wandered away and you have need to come to make your life right in a public way, we give you this invitation as well. And I want you to remember and I want you to be reminded how much you are loved. If you have need to respond in any way, won't you come all together? We stand.